Hey, what's up? Andrew Kramer here for VideoCopilot.net, and welcome to a very exciting After Effects tutorial. And I gotta tell you, this one is way better than any of the previous tutorials. And I know that I've said that before, perhaps once or twice, but this time, and perhaps the next time I make a new tutorial, I mean it. And what we're gonna be doing today is creating some of these cool 3D vines. Now, I'm gonna tell you, it cannot be done in just After Effects, but we're going to create it in 3D Max, and we're going to bring it into After Effects for a few post-processing effects, such as the depth of field that you see, and a few other little touches that we'll get into later. Let's go ahead and jump into 3D Studio Max and see what we're going to be doing. So it's a little different than the comp I showed you in After Effects. We don't have all the fancy lights, and there's no logo at the end. I just showed you that one so that you'd keep watching the tutorial. It's kind of like tricked you into thinking you were going to create something cool, and now we're just going to create this, you know, ridiculous vine, you know, in this simple room. So let's go and get started. I will show you kind of what the 3D Studio Max comp looks like. We have the vines kind of growing in and growing out. It's a pretty straightforward tutorial. Now, I'm not 100% sure how it would translate to other 3D programs, but I'm sure it would not be that far of a stretch. It is some fundamental kind of concepts that we're going to be going over. So what I'm going to do is reset 3D Studio Max. So I'm going to choose Reset. Do I really want to? Yes. And so here we are in a brand new scene. And the first thing we're going to do is create our little room. So we'll come over here to the Create palette. I'm going to create a box, and I'm going to hold down Alt and click and drag with the middle mouse button, so that way I can kind of fly around this, and then the mouse button will also zoom in and out if you roll it. So, and then I'm going to click in the corner, and we're going to drag it out, and we're going to basically make this box, and we just move it down and click again. So we've created our floor, and I'm going to move it here to the center of our grid, and then I'm going to duplicate it by holding down Shift and then dragging up, and then we can copy it with the clone options. You can also use Edit Clone right here. And so that's going to create our ceiling and our floor, but we also need to create our side and our back wall. So to do that, I'll do the same thing. I'll just click and drag down, and for this, I need to rotate it. So I'm going to come up here, and we'll take the rotate. And we also want to snap to 5 degree angles, I think. And then we just kind of rotate it. So anyway, I don't want to get too into the basic stuff. So let me just create this little room. So that's good. And then we'll create the back wall in the same fashion. So I can, you know, fix that, but, you know, this is fine. The other thing I can do is just select everything and take the scale and, you know, like make it a widescreen room. You know, I can make adjustments after the fact, and that would, you know, it's just easier that way. Here it is. Now, the other cool function in 3D Max is to create a camera from the perspective view that you're in. So I'm going to do that by choosing View, Create Camera from View. And so then a new camera jumps into our scene, and now in this view it is the camera. So I'm going to take the dolly truck tool, and we're going to kind of push in here and move it into just a little better position. And then this tool is going to open up the field of view and basically zoom the camera out, and that way I have sort of a wide angle lens, and that just looks a lot cooler. So this is the setup part, creating this room. The real stuff is going to happen once we start creating those vines. So be sure to save your project often. Now, the other thing I want to do is add a texture to the walls. And to do that, I'm going to use an image from our Riot Gear collection. And I'm actually going to go into Photoshop. And I've opened that file up, GrungeGray09. Looks familiar. And what we need to do is make it tileable. And then we also want to see some of this grunge on the top here. So basically we need to fix it up. So I'm going to duplicate the layer. Duplicate layer. Control J, by the way, for those shortcut people. And we're going to flip it upside down, vertically. And then we're going to change the transfer mode to, I don't know, multiply. And Then what we want to do is kind of get rid of some of the mirroring. You see how it kind of looks like it's mirroring? So we'll just take the eraser tool, and we'll take a big brush with no hardness, and we'll just kind of erase the overlapping area. And you know, that way it doesn't look all repetitive. And again, we have like this area here, which looks exactly like the floor. So I'll just take the stamp tool, and we're going to alt click here, just over here, and then just kind of paint this area in so it doesn't look the same. You know, you can do that for anything that kind of looks like it stands out, like that. So we'll just make this quick. I'm going to flatten this. I'm going to select both layers and go to the menu here. We can flatten the image. And the other thing we need to do is make the edges, the left and the right edges, also do the same thing. So again, let's bring this back into a layer. So you can just double click on it and it'll turn it into a layer again. And now that we've done that, I'm going to cut the layer. So I'm going to select and grab about 80% of the image. And I'm going to right click, layer via cut. And now we have two layers. I'm going to take this slice, the small slice, and put it on top. And so now you can see we have kind of a copy of that layer. And what I want to do is take this layer and just move it all the way over to the side. So what have I done is I've taken this portion here and put it here, which means if I were to duplicate this all again, it would match up perfectly. And I'm going to go ahead and feather the edges of this by, I'll just make it simple, we'll just take the eraser tool and just erase the edges. And then we'll take the layers again and we'll go merge layers. So now if I were to copy the layer, check it out. It hooks together perfectly. And when you're in 3D, you want your textures to be, you know, perfectly tileable. And so that's the purpose of this. So I'm going to crop it to the end of that. And then I also want to take the burn tool and kind of add a little bit of harsher darkness to the edges. So have my shadow selected, exposure 50, and I'm just going to kind of paint over this stuff down here. Okay, so now we've created our wall, and then I'm going to go ahead and save that. And this is the image we're going to be using for the walls. So I'll go and jump back into 3D Studio Max, and we can start texturing. I'm going to hit M to bring up our materials. And in the first slot, I'm going to go to the diffuse channel and click the add. And I'm going to click add bitmap. Now I'm going to change this to all formats. And I'm going to grab our tile texture Photoshop file that we created. Choose open. That looks good. I'm going to choose OK. And now it's in that channel. Now in Max, you can click on this little button here. And that will make it so when you apply this texture to a mesh in your scene, it will show up in the viewport. So I'll show you that. Drop it on there. You can see the tile, the texture is kind of upside down in a way. So I'm going to go and just change this to probably negative 90. And that way it flips it up and that looks right. And then I'll put this one over here. It's a little dark. I'm just going to add a light into our scene and make it ambient. This is just temporary light. I'll probably take it out later, but for now. Okay. So we got our walls, and now our back and our ceiling also need that texture. Well, not our ceiling, just the back wall. Okay, for our floor, we want to add sort of a water-looking texture. So what I'm going to do is go on to the next material slot, and we'll make the material black. And we'll add a little bit of specular, just like that, maybe a little bit more. And we're going to go down to the maps. And we're going to add a ray trace reflection. So I'm going to click on ray trace. And that opens up that object. And that's all good. We're going to just go up to the next level. And we also want to add a bump map. So I'll add a noise for the bump. And for the noise options, I want to use a fractal. We'll set the size to about 8. And you can kind of see what that looks like. And all that looks good. So I'm going to take this water material, apply it to our floor, and if I go into the bump, I can turn on the show texture for that material, and that way we can kind of see what the water is. And we'll go back out. And for our ceiling, I was just keeping this simple, and I'm just going to put that black material on there. So here's our three materials, and then we're also going to make one more when we do the vines. So other thing I need to do is some basic texture, you know, fixing. So I'm going to just go into our first texture, and we're going to tile it a little bit, 2.5, and that way it just doesn't look stretched as much. Same thing for our water. It looks like it's kind of stretched out, so we'll go into the bump, and we'll just tile it, excuse me, let's see, like 2.5, so it doesn't look stretched. You can also add a UVW map, but keep it simple. And so I'll delete this light. Now we're going to go ahead and add a real light, and so I'm going to take an Omni light, and we're going to look at the top view here. I'm going to put it right here, and then I'm going to move it up into the scene, like right here. And we want to make this light green, kind of yellowish green, kind of bright. And so 40. And then we also want to use the attenuation for the light, which basically makes it so the light doesn't just go on forever. So I'll use it, and then I'm going to increase it just a bit. And then we'll do a test render of where we are right now. Oh, also one thing. For the water material, I want to bring, let's see, the reflection down to like 90. And up here we have the little teapot. Okay, so here's our scene. We have some water, we have our light, and it's looking pretty good. So we want to go ahead and work on those vines now. So we get that out of the way, and we can start doing some fun stuff. Now, I'm going to right-click on the camera, and we're going to switch to a perspective view, and that way I can kind of move around this a little bit easier. Control-L will switch back to default lights, and that way it's easier to work in your scene. For the vines, what we're going to do is go into the front view. We'll zoom in here, and we're going to go to the Create Shape, and we're going to create some circles. And just click and just create some various sized circles, all in sort of a shape like this. And once you create a few, then right click on one, choose Convert to Editable Spline. And we'll set the, let's see, we'll go down. We want to attach those other objects so that we have a single shape. So I'm going to choose Attach Multiple. And we'll collect all of those and choose Attach. So now we have a single object. And then we go up again. I want to set the steps to 1. We want this to be pretty low quality up until we render. The next modifier we want to add from the list is called Extrude. So I'm going to come down here to Extrude, wherever that is, and we'll extrude it to the length of our little room. So I'll just extend it out, and so about 300 looks to be enough to cover that whole room. And then we'll set the segments to about 75. The other thing I may want to do is kind of bring these in a little closer. So if you go to the Edit Spline, click on this middle one here, and then if you select everything, you can scale it down. And that will scale the group down and make it a smaller set. And then we'll go back into the extrude. Now I want to go back into the Create Shape palette, and we're going to create a line. And we're going to do this in the top view. So come up to the top view, and what we'll do is just kind of draw this random line like that. And then right click to close it. I'm going to kind of make some adjustments to the vertexes. So take my line, go into the edit, and here we have our vertexes. Select that, and then we can grab one of them and just move it up. Grab another, move it up a little bit, and then our last one, remember we want this to kind of go out the ceiling and the top. So we can move these over to do that. Our begin one can start, you know, from up high. Maybe we'll bring this one down actually, and then bring this one up higher. What I'll actually do is just select everything, right click on one of them, and choose Smooth. What I'm going to do now is select our mesh. We'll uncheck vertex mode. We'll select our mesh, and we're going to go Modify, Path Deform World Space Modifier. So click on that. We're going to click our path, which is the one that we made here in the middle, the wiggle one. Click that, and something happens, but it's usually not what you want. So what you want to do is click the Move to Path button. And that moves our funny little shape down our funny little path. And there it is. So The rest of this is pretty straightforward. If I select the path to form binding, I can play with it like this and make it grow along the path. And then I can also actually edit my path. And so if I go into the path again, I can make some changes to it if I want, you know, if I want it to go through the floor. We can extrude this a bit longer, or from the path to form binding, you can just stretch it. And that works also, so whichever's easier for you. Now the other thing we have is a twist, and that's built right into the path to form. And so if we increase this, just push it up there, you're gonna see our mesh doing some wild stuff. Now I do need to make some adjustments to our path so that we can see this mesh a little bit better. I see we're kind of going outside the bounds of the room. So we can just adjust it so that we see our mesh that just looks like we know what we're doing. Now at this point I do want to add a smooth modifier so that our entire mesh is actually pretty smooth. So I'll go to the stack and there's one called Turbo Smooth. You may not see it on the list, but it's called Turbo Smooth, and you add that and we'll turn the render iterations up to 2. So I'm gonna go back into the materials by hitting M. And we're going to create a new black material. And we're going to add a gloss to it, but that is very sharp. And we want the specular color to be green. So, just like that. We'll come down to the maps, set the reflection to ray trace, and 80% on that. And that's good. So we'll apply this to our black. I'm gonna go ahead and render it out and see where we're at. Okay, so far so good. Now there are a few problems with the mesh, and so we'll go ahead and fix that right now. One of the problems sometimes is with the path, and if it's too abrupt with the twist, it can cause some weird anomalies. So what you want to do is just kind of spread the path out until that little buckle goes away. So you see right here we're getting kind of this weird kind of squishing effect. So we want to just kind of spread this out so that that just kind of hides itself. That's still looking really good. I'll click back out of that mode and we'll go into the mesh again. And you can play again with the twisting amount and also the rotation of the twist along the path. So there are some cool options for, you know, getting it to look the way that you want. Also stretch it out again. Then I do want to bring, let's see, I want to go on my path again. I want to bring this last couple of points in so that you see it kind of escaping out of the window. So sort of just stretching out our path so it's a little smoother. And again, we can select all of it, right click on a point and just choose smooth, make sure that we're still on those tangents. So alright, so this is looking kind of cool. Here we are in our perspective view. I'm going to right click and go back to our camera. And now we can animate the camera. So what I'll do is take this dolly tool and from this point in time, set an auto keyframe, move forward to about 80, and we'll just kind of fly in here. One thing else I want to do with the camera is take the pivot point there and just move it to the end of the mesh, and that way our camera won't get interrupted. So click back on the camera, turn auto key back on, and we'll go ahead and move forward back down the hallway here. And we can also move the camera into a different position, but you know, this one looks kind of cool. We'll have this kind of flying in here. So that's what we've created. Now we want our vine to also be growing. So select the vine and we'll take the percent all the way down here, set auto keyframe, move forward to about the end, maybe a little before the end, and then turn the percent up so that it finishes growing, and then just play it back and make sure that it grows with the camera, you know. And you can adjust the keyframes to change the speed, you know, depending on which one you want to be faster or slower. The other thing I did was added just some random lights throughout the hallway, and also made the hallway much larger. And with the help of my friend Bobby, he did a lot of the 3D work. We actually had a really intricate scene with the piping systems going down and all this stuff, but in the end it was just too much rendering power, and so we had to kind of tone it down a bit so that we could get that promo done in time. So let me just kind of give you a few of those tips. The Omni light, I just add a light in here, made it kind of a orangish yellow color, and turned on the far attenuation and brought it down a lot so that it was just a very small light in the middle of the room. So you can obviously play with the light settings until you create kind of a nice look inside of the room. Also, our floor layer looks to be a little low, so I'm just going to pump that up, or move that up just a bit. So I'll select that layer and just move it up just a bit. And then if I hit M again on the material for the water, I'm going to turn this down to like 80 and make it so it's just not as reflective. Because, I mean, this is like a sewer. This is where, like, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles live, and it shouldn't be that, you know, nice. Okay, so what I've done is I've made a few changes to the original circles, and I've added just a few larger circles and a few smaller circles, and I've also changed the angle of the camera. Now, we want to render this out for After Effects, so I'm going to bring up the render options, and before we render it out normally, I want to go into the render elements and add a Z-pass render. So I'm going to go down to the bottom, choose Z-depth, and choose OK. And what we want to do is test this out. So with that selected, if I go down here, we have the Z minimum and Z maximum. So that's going to be the distance from the camera. So I'm going to render this out and see if it works. Okay, so I've rendered this out and now I have this Z depth pass. But the problem is it's not giving us enough of a spectrum to be able to use in After Effects. So what we want to do is make an adjustment to the minimum and maximum value. So for the maximum value, it's still pretty gray. So I probably want to set this to maybe 225 and the minimum to probably 25. And then I'll render it out and see if that works. Okay, so this Z-pass has a lot more information and will probably work out for this shot. And another quick tip is if you're looking to figure out Z-pass information, you can go into your common effects and uncheck a lot of the options. And that way when you render, you won't see, you know, all that extra work happening. You'll just render it out and it'll be very quick and you'll be able to see an accurate Z-depth pass. So that's just a quick way. If you have a complicated scene, you probably want to disable some of that stuff. So I'm going to turn it back on, and we'll go ahead and render this out. So what I'm going to do to render it out is choose a range from 0 to 100, and we're going to want to save the file as a PNG, and we're going to call it 3D Vines, and save. That's all you need to know. It's going to save the original file, and then it's also going to save the Z-pass information. So I'll hit render, and I'll see you in about a week. Okay, so that's rendered out now, and I've imported the two sequences into my After Effects project. So here I have the 3D Vines by itself, and the Z-pass render, which looks like this. So what I'll do is take our 3D Vines render and drop it into a new comp, and I'll take our Z-pass and drop that right on top. So now they're basically right on top of each other, and you can see the difference between what they are doing, obviously. And what I want to do now is add some depth of field. So I'm going to select the bottom render, choose Effect, Blur, Lens Blur, and we'll set the radius to about 7. And then we'll set the depth mat to our 3D Vines Z depth. And now you can see we have a little bit of depth of field, but it's kind of hard to see. So if we turn the radius up, it'll be easier to find out where the focus point is. Now, we may need to change it. So the blur focus distance is going to let us do that. So if you adjust that, you'll see where the area is being focused on. If we pull out wide, you can kind of see that this very narrow area is in focus. So that is how that works. Now, I like to keep the number pretty low because it can start to look a little choppy around some of the edges. So, now, I do want to show you some other things that you can do with the Z-pass render. And one of them is, let's put it above the adjustment layer, is sort of create sort of like 3D fall off. So if I were to change the mode to multiply, what you're sort of doing is making it dark down this alleyway or down this hallway, and as you go down, the background is revealed. And in some cases, it won't be revealed because it's too far away. But we can also add a curves adjustment to it. But you can see it creates kind of a cool effect that, you know, you wouldn't be able to create just in After Effects because you need that Z information. Now, one other thing, if we choose channel invert, and then, of course, you can set this to screen and create sort of like a smoky mist that your camera is kind of passing through also. So that's also one kind of a cool way to do it. And you can, of course, adjust the brightness of it. And you can even adjust the color of it, you know, if you want it to have a little bit more, you know, of an interesting effect. So anyways, I know there's a lot of questions about this effect, so I'm glad I was able to demonstrate it for you. And I don't think I'll be doing a tutorial on this for any other 3D software. So, you know, you can check out some other 3D forums. I'm sure they'd be more than happy to help you. And also, remember to try to take this effect to the next level. You know, we ran out of time, but you guys have all the time in the world. So play around with different shapes and different things, and hopefully you'll come up with some even more amazing effects. Now, remember, this tutorial was free, and if you want to support us, be sure to check out our products. We do have a new plugin called Twitch, which is a little hard to describe, but will add some very cool style to your video. And be sure to check out our other products as well. We have Evolution, Designer Sound Effects, Riot Gear, a bunch of great products that are at great prices. So be sure to check those out and support us. All right, everyone. Thanks for watching. I'm Andrew Kramer, and we'll see you next time.